The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." They came near. He said, "I am Joseph, your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God has sent me before you to preserve your life. The famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you. There are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household, all that you have, do not come to poverty. Now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell on his brother's Benjamin's neck and wept. Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We read selected verses beginning at verse 21. "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. He must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus, if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right. Do not go on sinning. Some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, 'How are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come?' You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed, its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there's one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. The glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. And the stars differ from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. We begin reading at verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. The one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Or even sinners do the same. But if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text is based on your Old Testament lesson for today. Words of Joseph to his brothers. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me to preserve life. This is our text. How many of you watched the Hawkeye game yesterday? Oh, quite a few of you. It was a good game. But just before the game was over, the whole tone of the game changed. There are about 40, 50 seconds left. The Hawkeyes have been hustling the whole game, much more so, I think, than other games I've recently seen. They got a rebound, and then instead of rushing down court, they just kind of relaxed. Dribbled the ball around a little bit. And amazingly, Ohio State did the same thing. Well, there were 40, 50 seconds left in the game. What was wrong with them? Of course, they were up by 13. Maybe that had something to do with it. You know, I've seen the same phenomenon in other games. Even in games so important as the Super Bowl. How many of you watched the Super Bowl? Yeah. You know, there was a minute and a half or something like that left in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl! One of the most important watch games in the world. And the Rams got the ball. And they just kneeled down. Well, the game wasn't even over yet, and they're just kneeling down. What is with that? But, you know, the Bengals, they were just as bad. You know, they had a whole timeout left. They didn't even take it. Well, the game wasn't over. What's wrong with these people? Well, if you watch the game, and if you're any kind of sports fan at all, you know the answer to that question. While technically speaking, the game wasn't over, it was. The victory was already assured. There is nothing anybody could do to change that. And so even though there was time left on the clock, everybody, if you will, was, well, some were relaxed, others were depressed. But it changed the way the game was played, which is a good analogy for why we as Christians can live differently in this world. Or if you will, while the clock has not yet run out, the game is not yet over. The outcome is guaranteed. And when you know that, you believe it with all your heart, it really does change the way you live in this world. And I think one of the greatest biblical examples of that is the life of Joseph, which was the subject matter of our Old Testament reading for today. Though you might know the story pretty well, let me rehearse it for you. At a somewhat young age, Joseph receives visions from God. And one day he is to rule over his brothers and even his father. They all one day will come and bow down for him. But while that is a vision of the future, the present life of Jacob or Joseph was not so pleasing. Probably being an arrogant young man, and with his father giving him special treatment of over his other brothers, Joseph came to be despised by his brothers. It got pretty bad. They actually hated him so much they wanted to kill him. But they relented, and instead of killing him, they just sold him as a slave into Egypt. If that happened to you, don't you think you'd be a little depressed? While I'm sure Joseph was, he didn't live like it. While he was a slave, he did his best to serve his master. He didn't pout all day. He didn't only do what he had to do to get by. No. who is the best servant his master ever had. So much so that his master turned over the running of his entire household over to this particular slave. But then another disaster strikes Joseph. His master's wife takes a liking to him more than she should. And when Joseph doesn't return the favors that she is requesting, she lies about him, and he gets thrown into prison. And my friends, if you think being in prison today would not be any fun, you cannot imagine what prison life would be like in the ancient world, especially if you're a foreigner in the land of Egypt. Wouldn't you be angry? Wouldn't you wonder if God hated you? Might you wish your life was simply over with? Probably those thoughts crossed Joseph's mind. He's a sinner like you and me. But he chose not to live that way. An amazing turn of events. He so impresses the guards of his prison that they literally turn over running the prison to the prisoner, to him. How does that happen? I mean, he must have been running around all day. Can I do something for you? Can I help you? I don't know if any of you have ever served a prison guard, but I don't think that happens in most prisons. I have no doubt that his fellow prisoners looked at him and thought, you're crazy. But that's how he lived. And then one day, he has an opportunity to befriend somebody that can get him out of jail. But even though he does befriend that individual, and the individual makes all kinds of promises to him, he forgets about him for 2 years. And yet, Joseph didn't change how he lived. And after all of that depressing turn of events, one day Joseph gets an opportunity to appear before Pharaoh. And ends up being in charge of Pharaoh's kingdom. God didn't lie to him. Oh, if you will, the game still had to be played, and there were a lot of struggles along the way. But the victory was assured. And then one day, Joseph's brothers, the ones who had sold him into slavery, show up. What does Joseph do? He planned vengeance? No. Because he realized this was all part of God's good and gracious plan to save people. In Genesis chapter 50, after Jacob's father dies, he kind of sums up what had to be, if you will, the theology that governed his life. And I love the statement so much because it corresponds so very closely with another thing in the New Testament. The words of Paul in Romans chapter 8, and you've heard me quote them probably 100 times from this pulpit. In Romans, it goes like this. For those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, everything works together for good. Let's all say that together, but I'll say it once more. For those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, everything works together for good. Let's all say it together. For those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, everything works together for good. From Genesis chapter 50, after Jacob's father had died and his brothers are worried, now that daddy's dead, Jacob is finally going to get his revenge. They come to him and Jacob tells them this. As for you, you meant evil against me. God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. You meant evil, but in everything, God works for the good. Or another way of stating it, we always have to keep on playing the game. But the outcome is guaranteed. The clearest representation we have of that is something we stare at during our worship services, the cross, which I've reminded you so many times. You know, a human torture device is what we put at the front of our sanctuaries. It seems weird, at least to the world, because they can only see it as something evil, hurtful, painful. It was meant as a representation of death and the end of all things. But God meant it for good. Saving of many people. And so we as Christians look at the world differently. We're, if you will, playing the game knowing what the outcome already is. Victory for all those who put their trust in Christ. And so when it comes to what God asks us to live like in this world, we live differently. Not full of the anger that we see in this world so much. Not full of the hatred, the vengeance, the thirst for power that seems to drive so many people. No, we live very differently. In the words of our gospel lesson, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. What a weird way to live. From the world's point of view. But for those of us who know that while the clock is still ticking, the game is already over. It's not a problem. The world will always keep on doing what it wants to do, thinking that somehow it can win the game through power and might, through control, through hatred, through anger, shoving their opinions down our throats, abusing us, mocking us, hating us. So what? If you believe the game is really over, even though the clock is still ticking, it doesn't matter. That's what Christ knew when he went to the cross. His people were underneath the cross, mocking him. Hey, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you come down from there? Well, he really was the Son of God. Their mocking wouldn't change that. Nor would it change the victory that he would win in his death and resurrection. And as we continue to live out our days here on this earth, that's how our Lord and Savior Jesus wants us to live. Yeah, the clock is still ticking. Final hour of judgment has not yet arrived. But live your lives knowing that through Christ and through his death and resurrection, while the clock may not have yet run out, for us, it's game over. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.